got 1 week left in the filing period for candidates running for local office, and we got a couple new candidates yesterday. In Carrboro, incumbent town council member Eleazar Posada filed a run for what would be his first full term on the council, and in Chapel Hill, David Adams filed a run for town council there. Adams is a cancer researcher at Duke. He's been an opponent of recent town decisions on housing, including rezoning existing neighborhoods and setting aside part of the Legion Road property for affordable units. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more from David Adams, plus the full list of candidates who have officially filed to run. In other local political news, the organization Progressive Democrats of Orange County announced this week they are shutting down operations. Co-chairs Rebecca Cerise and Susan Siegel issued a statement Wednesday saying the organization's mission was to lead the county and state Democratic Party in a more progressive direction, and they believe that mission has been accomplished, at least to the point that future work can be done within the party itself. Over to campus now, where UNC officials unveiled a big initiative just days after the Supreme Court struck down the university's race-conscious admissions policy. Starting next year, UNC will be providing free tuition and required fees for in-state students whose families make less than $80,000 a year. We reported on the policy already. Here now is 97.9 The Hill, Sierra Pfeiffer, with the student reaction to that news.
When you have a UNC email address, getting a message from the chancellor in your inbox isn't uncommon. Throughout the academic year, and sometimes during the summer, students and faculty will get an email addressed by Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz, recognizing a holiday, announcing a new hire, or detailing a distinguished professor's research achievements. Often, these emails go mostly unnoticed, and even sometimes unread. But all of this was not true for the latest email to hit UNC inboxes. It announced that the university will provide free tuition and fees for incoming North Carolina freshmen whose families make less than $80,000 per year. Recent UNC graduate Samuel Garzon said he was excited when he saw the announcement.
I get really excited because I know it was going to help people. So I'm a covenant scholar, which basically means that I had my whole tuition cover as well during my time at Carolina. And it just felt nice knowing that even more people are going to have their tuition covered now, even not only covenants, but like even people that didn't qualify for that. So it's like very exciting. I was really happy when I saw it.
Garzon said having his tuition covered was what led him to choose UNC over the other schools that he got into.
As someone who like didn't have any financial support, it really like took the stress out. So I was able to focus on my studies and just like finishing within time and like not having any debt.
The announcement from Guskowitz did not include details about how the change will be enacted. It did say the tuition change will further advance the aid provided by the Carolina Covenant Scholarship, but how that program will be directly affected is also unclear. The scholarship program declined to comment, saying more information will be shared by the university in coming weeks. Junior TJ White said he thinks it's not a coincidence that UNC made this announcement in the wake of the Supreme Court decision against affirmative action.
I do wish they, since they have this power, they did it sooner, because I fall within this bracket below 80,000. But there's no coincidence that they did this in light of the affirmative action decision as a way to increase accessibility and to reach out to marginalized, less wealthy communities.
In the announcement, Guskowitz stated UNC will comply with the ruling, meaning race and ethnicity will no longer be a factor in admissions decisions. But White said he thought the tuition relief for lower-income families will still promote diversity.
That doesn't mean that they aren't trying to address diversity, and this is an aspect of it, socioeconomic diversity. It's not race, so it's in line with the law, but this is a method of addressing that.
Sophomore Jaden Wellum said he thought the announcement was a step in the right direction, but he believes it does not make up for what was lost with affirmative action.
What this 80,000 cap does is it helps, I think, more so for students who have already been admitted, whereas affirmative action helps students even get to the process of being accepted. You know, so many things cost money, SAT prep classes, tutors, all that sort of stuff that can increase your chances of getting into UNC, depending on how much money your family has.
White said this announcement could have changed his college experience, and he's optimistic about what it will mean for future students.
I live in a household that makes below 80,000 annually, and this would have decreased significantly the burden that comes with early adulthood that includes a four-year education. But with that said, I'm no less grateful that this is happening, just because a injustice that happened to me is being rectified doesn't mean that it shouldn't be rectified at all. And so I'm glad that this is becoming a reality for working families across the state.
With more details to come over the next couple weeks, students are happy that UNC is taking a step to make college more affordable and are optimistic other universities will follow suit. To read the full announcement Chancellor Guskowitz shared with UNC students and faculty, visit chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sierra Pfeiffer.
In Raleigh, Republican lawmakers are planning to try to override Governor Roy Cooper's vetoes of three anti-LGBTQ bills they passed earlier this summer, but there's been a delay. Reporter Colin Campbell tweeted that those override votes were originally scheduled for this week, but have been postponed until Wednesday. Meanwhile, budget discussions continue behind the scenes in Raleigh as House and Senate Republicans continue negotiating 2 weeks into the fiscal year. Legalized gambling is apparently on the table now. State Senate Leader Phil Berger told reporters yesterday there's a chance lawmakers may pass a bill legalizing video machines or full casinos on non-tribal lands, partly with the idea of generating tax revenue to offset tax cuts elsewhere. And some Republicans have also introduced an education bill this week that's grabbed attention with several provocative provisions. Among other things, the new version of Senate Bill 90 would impose more restrictions on school libraries and give parents more ability to file legal challenges against school decisions they disagree with. It could even authorize the firing of superintendents if just a handful of parents raise objections. That bill grabbed headlines earlier this week, but it's not clear whether it has any chance of passing. I spoke about that yesterday with Democratic State Senator Greg Meyer.
We should be horrified at the fact that any elected official would propose things like this, but I do not believe that this bill will become law. When I saw this bill come forward, I thought, this is a couple people's junk pile of bad ideas, not something that I think the entire General Assembly will pass.
On the outside looking in, how can we tell the difference between a bill that is likely to pass versus one that isn't?
The easiest way is if you kind of know who has power and who doesn't. Like, is the bill sponsored by a committee chair versus by a backbencher? However, this doesn't fall into that category. What happened here is that the House took a Senate bill sponsored by the Senate Education Chair. So you think, okay, well, this Senate Education Chair is pretty powerful, but this is a case where the House is hijacking a Senate bill. And the way you know that is through these three code letters called PCS, which is a proposed committee substitute, which means the committee replaces the contents of the old bill with what contents they want. And sometimes you can't tell until you see the committee meeting itself who is actually doing the committee substitute. But in most cases, it is the committee chairs. And so here it is the House Education Committee chairs that are likely the ones who are backing these provisions. But the House Education Committee chairs this year have put forward a ton of bad ideas that haven't been able to proceed. And so you have to know enough about kind of what's happening internal to the General Assembly, or you have to know the right observers and commentators who can fill you in on it. And it's not easy. And it, you know, really, there's a lot of things about our legislative process that seem like they're intentionally designed to make it harder for the public to follow. And this is a good example.
That's State Senator Greg Meyer speaking there. You can listen back to the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. Finally, in nonprofit news, a big announcement yesterday from the local hunger relief organization, Porch. They've just named Aaron Riney as their new executive director. Riney's past achievements include working to create the popular campus food pantry at Durham Technical Community College. Time is 6:22. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. The UNC men's soccer team has added a new assistant coach, Kyle Johnston, who spent the last 3 years as goalkeeping coach at the College of Charleston. Meanwhile, UNC athletic director Bubba Cunningham has added a new line to his job description. He's just been named as vice chair of the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Committee, which, among other things, picks the field of 68 in the NCAA tournament. Cunningham has been a member of the committee for the last 3 seasons. He'll serve as vice chair this season and then step up to the chair position for 2024 and 25. Elsewhere, congratulations to former Tar Heel football star Asim Richards, who's getting ready to start his NFL career with Dallas. He was just named as UNC's University Scholar Athlete by the National Football Foundation's Bill Dooley Chapter. That's an annual award for a Tar Heel athlete who excels on the field and in the classroom. Richards was a third-team All-ACC offensive lineman last year and earned All-ACC academic honors while graduating with a degree in exercise and sports science. And best of luck to four members of UNC's swimming and diving team, swimmer Patrick Hussey and divers Anton Down, Jenkins, Alex Hart, and Aranza Vasquez Montaño. They're all in Japan competing in the World Aquatics Championships, which get underway today. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls are back in action tonight after taking All-Star Week off. They are on the road at St. Paul for a three-game set this weekend. First pitch tonight is set for 8 p.m.